Hi, everyone, and welcome to Freedom from Addiction, Truth, Justice, Below Service, Neil Haley Show. I'm excited to welcome to the program, Reverend Wynn Henderson, MD. Wynn, how are you?
How are you today?
Doing fantastic. I can't wait to talk to our guest.
Our guest today is Dr. Mark Hayden. Dr. Hayden is a frontline medical doctor and research scientist. He's been on this podcast several times previously to keep us up to date on the truth just below the surface. One of the things I like about Dr. Hayden is he's able to explain difficult scientific concepts to everyone, even those in the eighth grade. I've got about 4 or 5 points to cover today, and we'll get going. Mark, how are you doing?
I feel great.
Okay. First thing I want to talk about is bring us up to date on RADVAC.
Sure. You know, RADVAC originally came out in the summer of 2020. I think it was first given in May of 2020. It was a nasal spray, and the nasal spray was a combination of chitosan, which is a food product, as well as the protein fragments of the S protein that resembled the S protein. So you could take, basically what you were doing was you were taking portions of the protein fragments from the S protein, you're spraying them in your nose, and your nose would begin to recognize them after 3 or 4 weeks. And you would actually, there's some evidence that reports that people would develop surface antibodies using saliva tests. And actually, after 3 to 4 weeks, the antibody test would turn positive to the specific spike protein. So that came out really last year. Now, when things rolled out to the CDC last year, the CDC does what it always does. And that is it talks science, but really what matters is not science, it's about money. And the big conventional players, which were Pfizer and Moderna, they spun their web that they were going to use the S-type proteins and that they were going to immunize against the S proteins. And so they would mass produce them, and it took months and months and lots of studies. And now what we're beginning to see is by the time they did their complicated, logistical, expensive S protein thing with Moderna and Pfizer, that the virus begins to mutate. There's a very short cycle. The advantage of the RADVAC was you just go out and pick out your favorite proteins, put them in a nasal spray. You can make it up in your kitchen, and you can constantly adjust whatever your spike protein is mutating into, meaning that you can change your formula very rapidly. You can make 20,000 doses in your kitchen for like 20 cents a piece. This would have been a very beneficial thing for trying to reduce morbidity and mortality in third world countries. It would have been helpful in the United States. It just wasn't pursued because guess what? In the government, money talks. If you don't have a lot of lobbyists, it doesn't matter how good your science is. It's about the buck in the United States. That's what it's about.
So where are we at with respect to this? Is it dead in the water?
No, actually, the scientists have continued on with it. A lot of the scientists wanted to send samples over there to India, because in India, as you probably know, they don't have hardly anything. The idea that you're going to make 6 billion doses of a new vaccine that would be constantly mutating and you get it to them within 2 or 3 months, that was never realistic. It was really... Most of this whole thing has been largely a gimmick and overhype that conventional medicines would work on a very unconventional virus. But, you know, the current status is the RADVAC program. They have a great website, www.radvac, I think it's .org, O-R-G. And I would recommend people go to it.
Also, it's on your website. The full reports on your website, antivirus.com. And you know, I like I said before, we'll touch more upon this even on other programs. It just shocks me to understand that we are in the U.S. are just thinking this is over. It scares me to think that.
Well, you know, now we're beginning to see, I think eight members of the Yankees staff are positive after they had two vaccines. And that immunity is just now beginning to wane. Remember, our first vaccine shots, really, people didn't get the second shot till about January, right? And so here we are in mid-May. That means it's been about 4 months since people got their second dose and should have reached, quote, maximum benefit. Those benefits are going to wear off very fast as the immunity. Number one, you can still transmit when you had the vaccine, even though they got vaccinated in January. The government came behind and said, join the team. You must wear your mask. And a lot of people picked up, just like you did, Neil. Hey, guess what? What is wrong with this program? When we get vaccinated, we're still required to wear a mask because you're still contagious, because it's still growing on the surface of your lung. And you can transmit it even though you probably have a reduced risk of death. Well, that reduced risk of death gets less and less over time. So you're going to see the people that are now symptomatic and carrying it and are positive, it's going to wear off very fast. You're probably looking at have to be revaccinated before the end of the year. Now, here's the problem. How are you going to revaccinate when there was no multiple shot program when this thing was set up? It wasn't. When you originally, we all have friends in our communities who got vaccinated, probably what 20, 30% of the whole US population was vaccinated. We all have friends and they've been vaccinated. Were those friends told that, hey, guess what? This is going to sensitize you to the S protein, but that S protein is going to mutate very, very rapidly because it's going to mutate all around the world. And when it comes in the next wave, this may not help you. And if you get another shot, we don't know how many shots you're going to have to get over the next 2 or 3 years. And we don't know what your long-term reaction is going to be. None of these things are explained. Remember, these aren't prescribed by doctors. If you ask yourself, how much does your personal doctor know now compared to what he knew 6 months ago? It's not all that much because they keep the doctors out of the loop. They're not part of the discussion. This is not run by community physicians. This is centralized power at the CDC.
Mark, we've had some programs with you in the past, and the people can come to the podcast and archive, go back, search, and see your programs. But what's the update on your oral vaccine?
Okay, let me give you on the broader picture. Vaxart had actually come out with an oral vaccine, and they had done initial studies for using an oral vaccine for COVID. It would have had likely far less side effects. There wouldn't have been the sore arms. People would not have had the severity of side effects. But you know, Vaxart didn't have the political juice that Pfizer and Moderna had. And so guess what? Vaxart didn't get hardly any funding. So we've had this pandemic for a year and a half, but only the insiders get really funded. I mean, that's the real nitty gritty of it. So even Vaxart, now, my problem with Vaxart was using an adenovirus. The coronavirus itself using a live virus is an excellent vector, and you can't beat the natural virus using oral inoculation. I have done oral inoculation. My son did it. My wife did it. Actually, in the United States, about a third of the people actually received immunity probably through their intestinal tract, accidentally.
How long, they did not how even long know that immunity doing. Be?
What's that?
How long that immunity be? Because I'm sure by getting fast food, I've swallowed COVID. I'm sure when my kids had, right. My wife had COVID, I had it already.
So much of when we had it blow through, when the last wave blew through and started to reach its peak in January and part of February, that virus was by the trillions everywhere. And so your likelihood that it was on your food, got in your mouth somehow, reached your digestive tract was quite high. So a lot of people got sensitized to it through their intestinal tract. Now, how long that immunity lasts? Probably it only lasts, I would expect that the immunity lasts as long or longer than that with the intramuscular vaccines. But what was more important is when you sensitize your intestinal system, you eliminate your transmissibility within about 10 days. That means 99% of the time, you can't transmit that virus in 10 days. So if you go up to anybody in your community and you ask that person, say, hey, you're young. You weren't going to die in the first wave because you're pretty healthy. You don't have a lot of risk factors. We want to stop your transmission so you can see your grandmother or go to the nursing home. Let's just give you an oral inoculation. That would have worked perfectly last year, and they would have stopped their transmission within 10 days. They could have gone seeing their mother in the nursing home. Inoculation was not done for political and economic reasons. The deep state, not science, makes the decisions. They're pulling the strings. They're running the show. And, you know, Fauci and all, oh, it's all about, no, it's not all about science. The face mask, the idea that surgical masks were going to protect people, that's not about science. N95s do, but N95 masks suffocate you just about, and they're very uncomfortable. So, you know, so many of these things, oh, yeah, we have the best people's interest in mind. Ho, ho, ho. I mean, we've seen some of the stuff with Rand Paul and Fauci. I am so proud of Rand Paul for being a physician and taking on these and taking on Fauci. And I wish all physicians could do that.
Mark, there is a country that is an archipelago off Africa's east coast. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing it. Seychelles.
Seychelles.
Say it again.
I think it's pronounced Seychelles. Seychelles, like Seychelles.
Seychelles. Okay. So the deal is that they have vaccinated the largest proportion of their population of any country in the world, and statement that the health ministry has made was that as a result of statistics last week, there have been 2,486 people currently who have COVID-19. But here's the important thing. 37% of those people, over a third, doesn't that scare you a little bit?
Yes. 37% of the people had both shots, not just one shot. And yet they were developing COVID symptomatically. Here's the phases that happen. When you get a vaccination, that will protect you to that particular spike protein. Months ago, I sent you an article by good researchers that were not puppets of the CDC. And they wrote that any of the vaccines that were based on the spike protein would very rapidly lose their effectiveness. That prediction has served basically true. That if you get vaccinated with the spike protein through an intramuscular shot, that the effectiveness drops very fast because the new mutants appear. And that your risk of death might be slightly decreased, but that risk, that decrease in your risk of death will wane very rapidly. And by that later that year, in 6 months or a year, it's likely that they'll be knocking on your door demanding a whole new vaccine. And you, as somebody who doesn't trust the government, the average person doesn't trust the government, and they're not required to. They're going to ask their friends and neighbors, how bad a reaction did you get to the last shot? They're going to hear these stories that, hey, you know, on my second shot, I was sick for a day. I was out of work. That's going to be common. Then what about the time you got your booster shot? The boosters will get progressively more severe. That means that the intramuscular shots will become, the side effects will likely be progressively worse, and their effectiveness become effectively less and less. The general population doesn't understand this, but when they start hearing these stories about the Yankees coming out and their people are getting symptomatic, well, the Yankees ain't dying yet. Well, that's true. We haven't had any Yankee deaths on the Yankees staff from COVID. That's nice. Give it a few months. Give it 4 months. Those who are fully vaccinated, let's see how they do come this fall. Guess what? It's going to be a whole nother ball game. And then they'll be saying, y'all line up. What is that going to do to the economy? All this idea that you're going to be doing cruise ships this fall and winter, if you're still invested in cruise ships or if you have stock in indoor basketball stadiums, don't do it. And, you know, many of our people that listen to this program have families. If you're going to go on a summer vacation, go early. Don't go late, because you may not be able to go late.
And that's what I'm predicting. And when, yes, I wanted to throw this back to Wynn also, both of you guys as doctors, they have said now that if you have the vaccine, you don't have to wear a mask anymore. So they're going to make people that refuse to get the vaccine, like myself, now be ostracized. When, and Dr. Mark?
Well, they have the vaccine police is going to investigate whether you told the truth about whether you had the vaccine. How's that going to work?
Here's the tragedy. You know, we're all familiar with those urine pregnancy tests that you can get for like a dollar down at the Dollar General. China makes a saliva test for antibodies for a particular spike protein or a particular N protein. Right now, there are at least two proteins on coronavirus that you can attach to, that an antibody can attach to. One's the spike protein and the other is the N protein. The first generation of vaccines were all based on spike protein. Spike protein mutates way too fast to really be effective for longer than 6, 8 months or a year. So the second generation is going to be probably to antibodies. It's going to probably sensitize people to the N proteins. People, those haven't even been tested to my knowledge. So my estimation is by this year, they will not be using, by December, they will not be using spike protein vaccines in the U.S. population, because those will be generally accepted as less than desirably effective with way too many side effects. Here's the problem, though. If I had natural exposure, either deliberately through inoculation, or I was around so many people that already have immunity, I should be able to check and see if I have surface antibodies with an antibody test kit. Just because I get an intramuscular vaccine doesn't mean that I have any surface mucosal antibodies. So that is a myth, that just getting vaccinated intramuscular provides airway protection and stops transmission, because it doesn't. There are all these myths that are really set out and promoted, not by science, but by people at the CDC, and they need to clean house. They need to clean house at the CDC from the top all the way to the bottom. They need to kick them out. And you need to have people that are really responsible. You know, there have been crisis times in the world. You know, when Stalin wanted to win or Hitler wanted to win. If you were a general and you didn't perform right, you got put in front of a firing squad. They called these things Operation Warp Speed. But, you know, the only thing going at warp speed was government money. Nobody got punished. To my knowledge, there's not been a single one government employee who died due to self-experimentation. I did self-experimentation because I was interested in it. I wanted to protect myself. My family did it because they wanted to protect themselves. The physicians in this country could have done wonderful things. The physicians were held back. They were threatened. They were trained that, hey, if they got out of line, they would get, they were sent home. But Rand Paul was a physician. He didn't keep his mouth shut. He took on Fauci. And right now it looks like Rand Paul's starting to beat Fauci in the public knowledge sector. And I think if Rand Paul keeps this up for about 2 or 3 months, Fauci's days as down at the CDC will be definitely limited. Well, when the rest of the world finds out about it, about Fauci's role in funding coronavirus research, that will not go over real well. So we're going to get all these changes. We're going to get into the blame game. We're going to have a whole new round. And, you know, I, for one, I don't know whether the American people want to see the stock market crash again and things lock down again. I don't think they do. But you have to have fair, honest treatment. And you had all these physicians in the community that should have been there. That relationship should not have been abandoned. They should have turned to 400,000 physicians in the community and said, we want you to help us help the American people. And that wasn't done, not at all.
Mark, let's talk about something that you alluded to. It's called gain of function. And gain of function is a field of medical research focused on the serial passing of microorganisms in vitro and vivo. This places positive selectivity and pressure on the microorganisms to affect mutations that would increase their pathogenicity, transmissibility, and antigenicity. It's the euphemism for biological research aimed at increasing the virulence and lethality of pathogens and virus. And Dr. Rand Paul took on Fauci the other day in the Senate hearings, and they had a go at it. Tell us about that a little bit.
Okay, first of all, we need to understand that the CDC is actually in charge of Fort Detrick, which is an army base that does biowarfare defense. We need to accept that technically you're not supposed to manufacture large stores of bioweapons by certain international conventions. It's a real no-no. But we have to understand that it's very difficult to be a defense analyst unless you look at the offensive capability of nuclear, chemical, and biological weapons. We know that back in World War II, both Japan, Germany, and the United States all had nuclear programs because you need, whether they were going to develop it for themselves or were worried about their opponents developing it, we need to also appreciate that if you have a nuclear war with somebody like North Korea, that in North Korea, they're very different from the United States. They have a bomb shelter for every man, woman, and child. And the old Soviet Union used to do the same way. So if you wanted to get to those people and keep them from surviving the nuclear war, you have to either deprive them of food, and oh, how convenient it's been that they never seem to ever have enough food. And number two, a biological weapon would have been very helpful at finishing them off because they're all in confined spaces down in their bunkers. Now, ordinary people don't like to think about scenarios where 10, 20, 30, 40, 50% of the population or more get killed. It's real depressing. People want to live. They don't want to think about things like that. But there are people in the government that think about those things. Now, in the apparently the CDC actually funded private research in Wuhan on coronavirus. And they had, when SARS, MERS 1 and MERS 2 came out, anybody who was any type of aerosol expert would have said, hey, that's turning into an aerosol. We need to investigate where there are applications by our enemies to turning an aerosol virus into something that could be kill people. High number. And the answer to that is yes. If you take the coronavirus, which is now aerosolized, very good. Now, remember, we had this long argument with Fauci for months where Fauci denied, oh, it's not an aerosol. It's not an aerosol. It's not an aerosol. It's not. He lies. He's not that stupid. I shouldn't call him a liar. Maybe he is that stupid. The reason it was investigated, because it had massive bioweapons applications. You can put a toxin in there. You can put a fatal protein. You can code all kinds of things in that virus. And because it spreads as an aerosol in the asymptomatic phase, you can infect large percent of your enemy or the entire world with whatever you want to encode in them. That is a totally new thing in the history of the world, that you can spread a virus asymptomatically and get everybody in the vast majority of the people in the world infected, and they can't stop it. That's rocking. So when now we have the capacity to have a virus that is asymptomatic that you can encode data in, you could encode the botulism toxin. You could code Clostridium toxin. You could encode all kinds of toxins that would kill not just 1% or 2%, might kill 40, 50, 80% of the population that got infected. These things can be done. Now, people like North Korea, they don't have the resources to do DNA and genetic coding and all that. They're just not, that ain't their cup of tea. But was it reasonable for the United States to investigate those things? The truth is it was. If my brother or uncle was at Fort Detrick and he was investigating weapons applications for coronavirus, he's not a bad guy. Now, would he get on TV and probably admit it? No, he's with the military. He'd be with the military, for goodness sakes. He'd have a security clearance. He would go to federal prison if he talked about his classified work. But are they supposed to do that sort of thing? Yeah. I mean, that's part of life. That's part of defense. So what is coming out now is coming out that there were huge investigations for years and years and years about the aerosol applications, about how it could be aerosolized. And eventually what we're not having is, were there conversations that it could be weaponized? We haven't had that disclosed. And those conversations will be largely classified. But the fact is, it's the ideal vector for carrying weaponized toxins. That's right.
So what's the bottom line about this thing that we were talking about?
Well, the bottom line is, when the rest of the world realizes the quote Wuhan virus was the Wuhan Fauci funded virus, the coronavirus was funded by Fauci and the CDC, and the same virus winds up over in Wuhan. It got there with the permission. It originally got to Wuhan with the permission of the CDC. How much trust will people have? I don't think they didn't have a lot of trust to begin with. I mean, they don't even trust our elections. Should they? No. And then how is that going to play into how much trust will there be for the CDC the rest of this year? You're looking at the blame game will start when we get these asymptomatic trans we get these asymptomatic infections that will then change into symptomatic infections. Infection numbers will go up, and then people will say, we've been here and done this before. We don't trust anything. So you're going to have a crisis of trust later in the year, a crisis of confidence. You'll have a people want to do a house cleaning. They'll be looking for people to blame. I wouldn't count on Fauci being there in December of this year. Hopefully he'll be gone. And you need to have a come to Jesus and really be honest with people. But honesty with the American people has never been the forte of the U.S. government, has it? Try honesty. Try candor. What we all needed in our lives was physicians who could look at these issues, who could be honest and be candid with us. We don't have that with COVID. You can't discuss COVID-19 with your physician. And that's the real tragedy.
Mark, I want to move into a different subject. Dr. Ryan Cole, he's a board certified medical doctor, dermatology pathologist type, and director of the medical unit at in his home state, where he's done over 100,000 different individual tests for COVID. And he's earned his degree, his medical degree in 97. So let me just run through this. He says, medicine has become politicized thanks to COVID-19 that has divided the country. Either medical professionals wholly accept the left's COVID narrative, or they're silenced, ostracized, and bullied. It's unclear if medical professionals are pushing the COVID hoax out of fear of being made into a pariah, or if they genuinely believe the disinformation and the lies. The mainstream medical community has been insisting that all Americans, whether they're healthy or sick, follow quarantine rules, wear face masks, social distance, and obey the mandates handed down by state leaders. Now, they're insisting that everyone gets vaccinated, regardless of antibody status, underlying health concerns, age, or risk of getting COVID. One doctor, however, is sounding the alarm on the dangers of the COVID vaccines and pointing out that the risk may greatly outweigh any supposed benefits. And this is Dr. Ryan Cole. He says that despite the left's knee-jerk reaction to label anyone who questions the vaccines as an anti-vaxxer, Cole said he is not anti-vaccine, but that he thinks Americans should be more informed about these potentially deadly vaccines. We've seen more deaths from this shot than all the vaccines in the last 20 years combined. And that's just in the first 4 to 5 months. And that's something that I've read from several different sources. Along with the possibility of dying, he cited a study that indicated that 3% of injuries from the COVID vaccine will be permanent. If you figure 100 million people get the shots, that's 3 million with a permanent injury. He also said that the reason the shots have never been FDA approved is because they lead to hyperimmune reactions in the long run. This is exactly the kind of information the American people should be considering when deciding whether or not to get these shots. But too many Americans are blindly trusting in biased, agenda-pushing media pundits, the medical experts, and radicalized politicians. He went on to criticize the unprecedented quarantines and lockdowns we have all had to endure last year, saying, never in the history of humanity have we quarantined the well? And argued that quarantines just don't work. So Dr. Cole had a lot to say. And he put up an example of an Indian named Vivek, V-I-V-E-K-H, who got his vaccine live on television in April to demonstrate just how safe it was for those that got him. 2 days later, he was dead. He was admitted to a local hospital on April 16th for cardiac arrest after receiving COVID type shot, Indian COVID vaccine, just the day before. When he arrived at the hospital, the otherwise healthy 59-year-old was unconscious and underwent a coronary angiogram and angioplasty before he died the next morning. What is terrifying is that the hospital reported that he suffered acute coronary syndrome with cardiogenic shock and 100% blockage of a blood vessel. That is what the vaccine did to him, and that's what it could do to you. Doctors like Dr. Cole are right to warn Americans about the risk and danger of these experimental shots, which, by the way, are not vaccines. They're called vaccines so that they can escape the liability of all the bad things that are going to happen to you. There's no safety guarantee, and there is nothing to indicate whether or not someone will be safe from these dramatic, possibly permanent, and possibly fatal adverse reactions. So that's one board-certified medical doctor who's come out to say, is it really worth to get a vaccine for an illness that over 98% of people survive? What do you think?
I think you have to look at the process itself. The entire process of treating this pandemic was flawed. There was no public debate. For instance, I wanted to debate Operation Warp Speed because I had a different alternative. If I had been allowed to have debate 24 hours a day where people get to argue their points, here's what should have gone on last year and would have been, nobody would have died. When Pfizer was injecting monkeys, they stopped at two shots. That's not good enough. I would have required them, hey, Moderna, hey, Pfizer, you give that monkey a shot every 3 weeks for the next 6 months. And let's see how severe the reactions get after you get round after round after round. Then change the formula, because that's going to simulate what Pfizer and Moderna are going to have to do as the virus changes. So hey, Moderna, hey, Pfizer, you treated monkeys last year, but you stopped at two shots. You stopped at two shots because you knew that the reactions would become progressively more severe. If you did more shots, the reason why Pfizer and Moderna didn't do it, because they'd have to let the public know that the monkey died or some monkeys died at five and six shots. They didn't change up the vaccine because, oh, they just didn't want to know data that they might be responsible for. That shouldn't be the case. That's how you learn, okay? So right now, we don't know how many the effects of having three Pfizer shots or modifying the formula. None of that's even been done. These people are a joke. I mean, are they not thinking ahead? Don't they plan for a long-term pandemic? Or is the whole idea just to, quote, win an election and get by the next 6 weeks? Is that what the whole CDC plan is? So when we have all this vaccine resistance, why isn't Fauci telling the people about vaccine resistance if he should have known about it a year ago? No conversations there. And if you don't talk about vaccine resistance and the increasing level of side effects, how are you ever going to prevent them? And if you don't discuss them with the medical community at large, how are they ever going to come up with solutions? Oh, we don't like people to know that the government doesn't have it under control. Well, guess what? The government doesn't have it under control. They don't.
Well, Mark, here's what I was thinking. There are three different therapeutic regimens that are safe, inexpensive, and proven to keep you from getting COVID or getting sick from it. They don't, and they've had safety trials of a large number of people all over the world. And that's hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, and D3, vitamin C and zinc. All three of those things can keep you from getting or getting sick with the virus. Why would a person choose to take a mRNA shot that they have no idea what's going to happen to them next year? They may be dead, or they may have some significant injury. Why would they choose to do that when there's three things that they could do that won't cause them this problem?
For the messenger RNA shot, those people that had very short life expectancies, people in nursing homes, those people likely reduce the severity of their disease with the vaccinations. Would I ever recommend a messenger RNA shot to a female that hasn't had kids? No, not my female. Now, if the government pays me, writes me a big check and tells me I'm going to lose my license unless I recommend it to other people, well, guess what? I'll have to make a career decision then. But for my own family, for my own daughter, I wouldn't tell her to get a messenger RNA vaccine if she hadn't had her children yet. She's got, and hey, would I take a 10-year-old and give them a messenger RNA, an experimental vaccine that they don't know all the long-term side effects? No, I wouldn't. But now, if I was a government agent, you can always say you're just following government policy like an automaton. You know nothing. You just do whatever they say do. And that's really what they wanted to reduce physicians to. That's sad. We used to have advocates in our community for healthcare. And doctors are trying to be reduced to corporate and CDC flunkies. Only when you go in to get your vaccination, there is no person who you can actually talk to. Talk to me about what I should expect. You won't get that conversation. If something goes wrong, who can I blame? You can't blame anybody. You can't sue anybody. What if the information you got was false? So sad, too bad. They made their money on Wall Street. It was for-profit motive. Hey, the check has been cashed. It might even be out of the country by now. Ha, ha, ha. Watch out. It's just sad. And guess what? The American people they deserve better. Encourage your physician. And if you're a physician, encourage your peers to stand up for their patients. Stand up for patient rights and stand up for human rights. We're not cattle. Slaves do not get to make decisions about their health care. On the plantation, the slaves did not get to decide whether they were vaccinated. Guess what? I'm not a slave. I chose my path. My path worked. CDC didn't want to participate. That's their right. Don't take away my privileges, alleging that I'm still transmissible, unless you can prove that I am transmissible. That burden of proof should be on them, not me. It's not.
Okay, Mark, one final point. Dr. Vladimir Solinko, who has been nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize for his use of hydroxychloroquine in the treatment of COVID-19 patients, had this to say. And do you understand what it means that we're injecting viral genetic code for the spike protein into innocent people, and it gets into almost every cell in the body. All gene-based vaccines, which aren't really vaccines, can be expected to cause blood clotting and bleeding disorders. And even a former vice president of Pfizer, Dr. Michael Yaden, has said that what they're doing is not right. So even an insider whistleblower has come out and said, you know, this just isn't right. And I don't know what to say at this point, because we've got a population of people who are being lemmings, they're being sheep, they're being led to the possibility of their own death or significant injury, and nobody is doing anything about it. The narrative is, get your shot and shut up.
That's it. Shut up. Don't ask questions. Don't ask questions, because they don't have the answers. Well, if they don't have the answers, then why are they running the show? They don't even have a discussion. You know, the things we talked about last fall, mucosal versus systemic immunity. They don't have those discussions. How can you have informed consent when the people aren't informed? You can't. How can you even run an experiment with hundreds of millions of people when you're not informing and discussing them? When you're not talking to their advocate, which is supposed to be not just their parent, their advocate is supposed to be their physician. There's not these debates out there. There's not self-experimentation among all the physicians. What I want, let me tell you what I want for as soon as possible. I want my Chinese test for antibodies. I want the new N test for the antigen test for the rapid test out of China. I don't want them cheap and inexpensive. That's what I want. That's not coming from the United States. That's coming from China. So the best diagnostic kits, they're coming from China. They're totally outside the CDC's reach. Is the U.S. government even making any new antibody saliva test kits? I don't think so. It's all about the money, keeping the same crooks in charge who are incompetent, who are there to make money. It's all about the buck.
Yeah. Power and money.
Yep.
Neil, you as a non-physician have heard this.
I've been listening to this.
How does it strike you?
This concerns me very much that I should not trust my healthcare or anything at this point in time. And when I'm told that I am awful, and my mom coming to me and telling me, how dare you, you're causing the problem by not getting vaccinated, when I know the truth, really upsets me, because I don't even want to get in the conversation, because she'll think that you guys are a bunch of conspiracists, but you're not. Because I work with Mark and I work with you, Wynn, and I also have worked with many physicians that have told the truth, and even emergency room physicians, that this vaccine's not proven. It's not shown anything. And to tell people now you don't have to wear a mask when you're seeing a global pandemic happening in India and a third wave, and thinking that just we can go back to normal and ostracize the people that are not taking the vaccine, you have to wear a mask, is really awful. And to know that it doesn't work, that it's going to cause problems, it's going to hurt our genetics, and in the long run, we're going to have worse health problems by taking this vaccine, absolutely scares the heck out of me. And I just am just going to stay in my basement, in my office, keep working hard, keep growing my businesses, and just basically ignore all the noise that's going to happen in the next couple of years.
Well, I think that the truth will win out eventually, but for a lot of people, it will be too late. Mark, would you like to tell people how to get in contact with you?
Yes. I think they can reach Neil, and he can set him up for a show. If you're a physician, we love to hear from you. And I like hearing from people that want to argue both sides. You know, what we really like is not for people to agree with us, but let's have debate. Let's have argument. Let's look at both sides of a question. And that's how people enhance their understanding. So it's perfectly okay if people disagree with my viewpoints. If they say, hey, guess what? The government's going to save me. But if they can't have a conversation on mucosal versus systemic defense, or what are the long-term complications, we need more physician involvement. And I welcome people who are physicians to come on our programs, engage with us, and let's get our physician-based community involved in the solutions. And, you know, together, people can come up with solutions. Together, people can be creative. And that's what we need to work with. But this idea of having a fascist state run by Fauci and the CDC, that's hogwash. That's not freedom. That's slavery. That is the tyranny of the select few people that I didn't vote for. I didn't vote for them, and they weren't, I didn't appoint them.
Well, thanks, Mark, and Neil. I think this was a great opportunity to get to some information out to people that they haven't heard of before. And thank you both.
Hey, I appreciate this, Wynn. And you have a great day. I count my days. My days are numbered. And I want to make the most of every day. And I appreciate the time to talk with you, Wynn. And thank you. Thank you, Neil.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely. And it's concerned. We'll just see what happens and keep rolling. Wynn, go ahead and close it out.
Okay. The well, it's my pleasure to have each of you out there, maybe as many as a million listeners hearing this show. My sincerest desire is for you to get something out of it that will make your life richer, fuller, and safer. As you know, my name is Reverend Wynn Henderson. As an ordained Christian minister and a retired medical doctor, I have a dual perspective to bring you content to solve problems in your life. This podcast is the longest running single hosted spiritually based radio internet talk show in America. It's been on the air for over 20 years. I bring you information about the disease of addiction, your purpose in life, and investigative reporting on truth just below the surface. My mission is to help spread the message that there is a cure for every addictive behavior. This is a spiritual cure, and the treatment program is profiled in my book, Freedom from Addiction 3. If you meet three simple criteria, you will get well. I have three free resources where you can start your journey. The first is a link to this podcast, which is www.freedomfromaddiction.libsyn.com, spelling Libsyn. L-I-B as in boy, S-Y-N. The second is a link to my website where work with addiction. That's www.revwynhendersonmd.com. And the final resource is my Twitter account. Search on twitter.com at Hugo the Artist. There you will find inspirational and educational daily pearls of wisdom to help you in this life. And thanks again.
Excellent. Okay. That was Freedom from Addiction, Truth Just Below the Surface, and the Neil Haley Show. Take care.